The Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Okay, there I am. Hello, everybody. This is the Tuesday edition of Midpoint Talk. And yes, you're my number one. I might be your number one, probably at the bottom of the list, but still the number one at the bottom is fine with me. After all, I share the same standing as our president, you know, at the bottom of the list. You know what I mean? But anyway, we have, this is your hero, Mark Biro, on Midpoint Talk, the Tuesday edition, and on WMNF 88.5. And we invite your telephone calls. I'm going to give you the number now and then give you my little monologue. But here is the number, 813-239-9663. That's the number to call if you want to be a part of this program, the Mark Biro program. Yes. This is your hero, Mark Biro. And again, if you'd like to send me an email, if I find it, you know, worthy enough to start talking about it on the air, you can get me at dj@wmnf.org. I will always return those emails. If you write me more than one, I'm only going to respond to one of them, okay? So, but anyway, I always do respond. Anyway, let's get to the points at hand, the talking points at hand. I got to tell you, when I woke up this morning and I saw that Rex Tillerson had been, well, relieved of his duties as Secretary of State, I said, so what? What's new in this administration? This president, our president, President Donald J. Trump, is so like his persona on The Apprentice. You know, where his number one claim to fame on that program was telling you, you're fired. I never saw what was so appealing. I mean, you know, there are a lot of you guys out there that love being able to tell somebody you're fired and take great pride in it. I don't get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know in the course of business or anything else, you have to bring in people and relieve them of their duties because they're simply not doing the job. But you know what I found in my experience as one who has been fired from jobs, not many, and some I would say for good reason. Others, I found most firings more protective of the people who are on top trying to cover their A's than anything you actually did. And, you know, I could give you my own experience at High Line. I remember, I'll tell you straight out. I worked for High Life for 15 years. I was the chief announcer there and later the public relations director. And I got a loan from the company, from the paramutuals. I had done it before, but never through the channels I had obtained it. When the boss returned from deep sleep, I guess, after 6 months, he found that there were close to 24 people who had made loans, and he decided to hold everybody accountable, and I was one of three people, not two dozen, but one of three people that were fired because of it. And that's fine because everything was out in the open. I signed forms showing how I obtained the loan. It was all, you know, approved by various people. But the boss claimed he never heard of any of these loans. So it was quite public. It was in the newspapers. And it was shortly thereafter, once I was relieved of my duties, it could have been about 2 years later that the entire business folded, not because of the loans, but because of bad management, as is usually the case. Whenever a business closes, it's usually because somebody didn't manage something appropriately. But hey, that was fine because I went on to bigger and better things. And I just don't see this love of, well, Donald Trump in particular, our president, and his famed tagline of his, "You're fired." I don't get it. Don't get me wrong now. Those of you who are bosses and own your own business, and it may be a very small business, not on the scale of our president and his real estate business, but those of you that maintain, have that position, I can understand how you like it. And I do respect you that that's what you like. What I don't like is people like me and you liking it. We're just schleps. We're schlepping around doing our jobs, and yet you admire this kind of thing? Now, I'm going to go to the heart of what I think is the Donald Trump appeal. Okay? The appeal is that most people who find him appealing know nothing about politics. They know nothing about current events. They have no cognizant critical thinking skills that they apply to all situations. It's all partisan. Now, before you call in and say, you know, Mark, you're being unfair, you have an opportunity to call in and give me your side of it. And you're going to be respected for it. But you're going to answer questions too. And what I have found, my experience, and that doesn't mean that my experiences are the Bible on this issue, but I have found that most of the people that I grew up with, most of the people whom I love dearly, that I have known all my life, that find this guy appealing, know nothing about everyday politics. Nothing. They have no core principles, because if they did, this guy, and listen, if you did not like Bill Clinton, if you did not like President Obama, okay, and the standards you use to judge, and Hillary, this guy would be out of office already. And I always found it very interesting that by 53-54% women voted for this guy. And more importantly, a sizable percentage of those 53-54%. A sizable, to me, a third of that is sizable, continue to respect this guy? And the outcry from women is they want respect. And you know what my feeling on that is? Absolutely. I've always been the kind of guy that without being Sir Walter Raleigh or anything. Man, I was in radio when there were no women newscasters. And you know who stood up for women? You're going to be surprised because you really don't know the guy, but one of the top people that I emulate in that attitude was Ted Webb. I remember Ted Webb going to bat for a lot of women, journalists, disc jockeys, and everything. And I mean, I'm talking about Ted standing up to the point where he was going to lose his job. Now, you could say what you want about Ted, or you could say what you want about me, but he stood up for those women, and he didn't have to. Ted is secure. Long before he became the Ted Webb we know, Ted Webb knows this business. He taught me a lot of it. And although he's my cousin, I love him for everything that he's taught me. How to purport yourself on the air, and above all, how you treat your listeners. So, going back to the original point, and that is, those who support this president have very little knowledge. Let me even go further. You don't really care. If you are that person that supported this president because you wanted a rebel without a cause, you got it. Because this guy doesn't have a cause other than himself. He's the most insecure leader I have ever seen in my life. The very people that he has called fantastic, dedicated, they're the best, we're going to bring ideas to the table, we're going to make deals, all that is a lie because he hasn't done it. All the people that he has put around him are all gone, for the most part. Oh, don't get me wrong. He's going to find a kiss ass here or there. And these are the people that the people who supported him would not like. Those are the people that they rant and rave about political correctness and all that. I haven't seen anybody more politically correct to his own cause than this president. Whatever's good for him is what matters, not what's good for the country. You want to make America great again, say his biggest critics? Dump Trump. Now, I have for 3 years on this program tried my very best to elicit phone calls and voices from those who support this president and why they support him. Let me just say from the outset, there are a great many of you that are homophobic, that are racist, that appeal to the very worst of our nature, that love this guy for all of those reasons. And to divorce yourself from that segment that you cultivate is a perfect example of, it's a perfect reason, an example of why they support this guy. So if you can't do it, if you can't call and say, what the hell, a guy, a corporate CEO, big man like Rex Tillerson, I didn't like the guy. I never did. But that's what you voted to support. When you talk about draining the swamp, those kind of guys are the swamp. And what this president has done by muddying the waters of critical thinking, what he has done is he's put more stuff in the swamp. This swamp is as big as it gets. And those people, without any morals, without any sane standard of what they think is ethical conduct, you've just shown the world that we are at the very top with our leadership devoid of any cognizant idea of what a standard ought to be for conducting politics. We got Rex Tillerson out. We got Mike Pompeo, the CIA director, in. It's going to be interesting because what you're hearing is there's a disagreement over United States foreign policy. What is that, by the way, under this guy? What is, oh, you mean make America first? That's the policy? What does that mean? It sounds good. Why don't we all just start for the next hour saying USA, 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 and there's nothing on the court or on the field or of any kind of competition on which we can put that chant. There's no USA team on the field. We have become individuals that love to say USA, USA, and there's nothing to cheer about. Our country is great. We love our country, not merely because we were born here, but because of the good and great land that together you and I make it. So what happened to us? What's going on? What happened to all this beautiful idealism that we take pride in our country? This guy is an embarrassment. And I'd like you to call me and tell me why you think he's not. Now, I got the usual cast of characters calling me here. We got a full board. And by the way, when you call in, you're not going to hear Jan's voice on the phone because she's here with me. She's producing this program. But the amazing Bill Grace is on there, and you make sure you treat Bill with the greatest respect, even if you don't like what I'm saying or what I'm asking you, and that is, where is the foreign policy? What does this guy stand for after over a year and a half in office? And don't call me up and tell me, you know, Mark, you're just crying, you're bitter about the election. That's BS. Anybody who pays attention to this program knows that for 4 months, as a matter of policy on this program, I did not criticize this president. Because I believe he has the right and at least the opportunity to a honeymoon period in which we could see what direction he was going. Number two, when this president won the election, you didn't hear one word from me about it being illegitimate or to try to negate the legitimacy of his victory. So don't come with all that crap. Okay, that's crap. And you can save it for the crap table. Okay, again, here we go, 813-239-9663. Like I said, if you got a busy signal, we'll start clearing the board. But let's start right off the bat with Rob in Tampa. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Mark. Listen, I wish I could help you out and say that Trump was great and that he's doing good things. But I have to tell you a little story. I'm really worried about our country, like, seriously. Like, I grew up in a little town outside of Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I used to watch a lot of history programs. And I used to see a little guy with a mustache. And he used to scream at the top of his lungs. And he had hundreds, thousands of people putting their arm up in approval. And I used to watch this guy and say, this guy is a buffoon. What do all these people see in this guy? And for the life of me, Mark, I couldn't understand it. To be honest with you, I still don't really understand it today. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is Hitler. Don't misunderstand my point. But my point dovetails with your point. That this guy is a buffoon. I don't want to say he's a moron because I don't know what his IQ is, but he comes off like a buffoon. And Mark, I swear to God, it scares me that 35% of people in this country think he's a viable, not a viable alternative, but he is doing a good job. It scares me that 35% of the people have been bamboozled. Now, if it happened in Germany in 1938, because I want to remind you, Hitler didn't take power in a coup. He was elected. People stood up and said, this guy represents us. Hey, man, I'm sorry if I'm getting a little excited.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Radio is passionate.
I really worry about our country. I worry about the intelligence of people. I wonder what Hitler could have done with a Fox News.
Oh, my God.
What could Joseph Goebbels have done with a... You know, they tried. They put out films of Jews that were happy working in the camps. They were happy. They all had jobs, for God's sake. You know, I wish I could be the person who calls up and says, oh, Donald Trump is great. You don't get it. I'm not that person. And I don't understand why 35% of the people in this country are like that.
Well, I agree, Rob. I'm sorry. I just cut you off by accident. I didn't mean to. I hit my thing. But I think you stated the frustrations that a lot of thinking people feel. And I thought you were very fair about it. Okay, we had a lady on that I don't know why she's gone, but anyway, here is Steve in Tampa. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mark.
Hi.
I was hoping maybe you could help me, because I have a discussion with somebody every so often, and this person is just rampantly against Trump. And I try to tell him over and over again that if Trump goes away, they will simply replace him with somebody else. And that there are plenty of kooks, plenty of morons, and plenty of idiots who will be happy to go in there and do the bidding of the rich and the corporations in this country. And Trump is just the figurehead. But for some reason, Danny seems to think that if Trump goes away, everything will be good again. And help me out, Mark.
Well, I've had that same conversation with Danny as well. And, right now, his focal point and most focal point by those who dislike this president that rampantly is get him out. We're getting some kind of a feedback on your line there, Steve.
Oh, really? Well,
there you go.
I call it the cockroach principle, and that is if you get rid of one, another one will run out.
Well,
if
I feel
get rid of that one, another one will run
well,
out.
Well, I think
we got to get rid of the idea that makes these people happen.
Well, then let's put it this way. Going by your thought process, Steve, there really is nobody else to replace, right?
Until we somehow figure out a way to take power away from all the people who put them in there, I don't really know what we can do. I mean,
well, the thing is that going on that thought, let's just say that we elect, let's say, somebody from a different party. I mean, isn't the chant going to be essentially what you just said, and that is it doesn't really matter who you put in there, even if it's somebody from a different party?
I think it would matter if we put in somebody like, say, from the Greens or whatever, but if you put in one Republican is as bad as another.
And, about a Democrat?
Be a little more articulate.
Wouldn't a Republican say, well is it replacing a Democrat?
Follow the same policy line, basically.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. Well, listen, Steve, let's see what others have to say. I really appreciate the call. Here's Richmond in Richmond. No, I'm sorry, in St. Pete.
Hello, good afternoon, Mark.
Hello.
So, as a Trump supporter, I'm kind of frustrated with your characterization.
Okay, give me yours.
I tuned in listening to Rant and Rave, and you categorized me as a Trump supporter.
Wait a minute. I didn't categorize you as a Trump.
You said the typical Trump supporter is ill-informed, not present in politics, has no idea. You made a lot of assumptions. You constantly bash, and you just have this negative thing. You're not talking about facts. You say that Trump is homophobic. Tell me one thing Trump has done that's hurt the gay and lesbian community. As a supporter, I totally support gay rights.
Well, almost every
Trump supporter and support that. I don't think he's done anything to subtract or take away from that. And if you can give me one example, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I can tell you he supports Supreme Court justices that don't support a gay agenda. I think the gay community will be the first one to tell you that.
Wait a minute.
You just asked me. Now respond to that.
Respond to that. What Supreme Court justices have you supported that don't take
Gorsuch?
A gay agenda?
Gorsuch?
What has Gorsuch voted on that's taking a right away from a gay person?
He's talked about it. They've all talked about it. Even Anello has support, even though Anello wasn't nominated by President Trump, that philosophy is anti-gay.
Okay, so...
Are you telling me that it's not... Wait a minute, Rich. Are you saying that that's not true?
No, I'm saying you're.
You asked me for an example. I gave you one.
Of the impact is that one Supreme Court judge that he has nominated has a viewpoint that closely follows the party line. True or false?
That closely follow the party line? You mean other aspects
of the conservative side or the liberal side?
Yeah, but
conservative side of the coin.
Yes, I think
president to nominate a conservative Supreme Court judge. Correct?
Yes.
And in no way, in no material way, other than just the having him in the Supreme Court, can you say that that's detracted from the right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Vice President Pence, is he a good example of anti-gay agenda?
His state voted for him as the governor.
I'm not talking about how his state voted and how many people, like maybe yourself, that support him. I'm talking about what is his gay agenda. Is he anti-gay? On the basis, let's say that his anti-gay stance is based on his vision of what Christianity is.
Sure.
Okay, so would you say that, just take the Christianity aspect of it, which is a great appeal to the Republican Party and their so-called family values agenda. That includes anti-gay legislation. Am I incorrect about that?
No, I mean, I do believe...
Oh, I'm correct on that. Okay, so give me...
Christian base, like Texas, where I used to live, there is a strong sentiment against giving gays rights. I don't support that.
Wait a minute. Richmond.
I don't see legislation to roll back anybody's rights.
Richmond, I'm going to leave it to you, okay? First of all, I don't know you, okay? But I believe everything you just said about what your stance is, okay? Now, looking at your fellow Republicans and your fellow Trumpians, how many out of 10 do you think feel the same way you do about the gay agenda?
9 out of 10.
Okay. Now, I want...
And this is a known thing. The voice has gone to the extremes in this country, and that goes for both the left and the right. And so the Tea Party...
Well, Richmond, you're going to hear... You're going to hear... From
the extreme left.
I got it. I got what you're saying.
And the anti-Trump stuff.
Richmond...
He said he's an imbecile, he's a moron, and all these things. But you don't talk in specificity. You just sit there and throw it, and it's losing all the credibility for those of us who listen, who want to hear both sides.
Well, I just gave you.
I want to hear how the left hears. I don't want you to try to throw back in my face about the Christian agenda, because I don't support that in and of itself.
But how many people out? But Richmond, how many people in the Republican agenda and in the conservative agenda, how many people out of 10 do support an anti-gay? You said 9 out of 10 do not.
You asked me how many people I know.
I did not ask you that.
Yes,
no, I didn't. Listen.
Do you know? I heard what you asked.
No. I asked you how many... Richmond, I asked you... How many people in the Republican conservative agenda? Not what you know.
No, I'm not a pollster for across.
Okay, so you don't have an opinion of that. All the people that you know, 9 out of 10, agree with what you just said. I'm accepting it. 9 out of 10 people that you know, okay, that you know. Mm-hmm. I have people that I've known all my life, okay, that aren't Republican and aren't conservative, and I would say conservatively 50% agree with the Mike Pence, Donald Trump, Republican, family values, anti-gay position. So, but I do have a good feeling that the people that these people appeal to, the Pences, for whatever their Christianity and all that, hey, they definitely support an anti-gay. And if you don't know that, now people have just heard your opinion.
Mark, you're trying to sit here and make me look ignorant. I'm telling you, in the real world.
No, you're making yourself. You're making yourself. You're making. Richmond, I have never said. Richmond, I have never said you're ignorant. I just accepted your position. I gave you a position of honor. And you want to say that I'm calling you ignorant. I'm not.
You are. You're spinning it to it.
Well, you're sounding like it now. You're sounding like it.
But I'm trying to sit here and give you the real world experience of a WNF listener and somebody who supported and caucused for Bernie Sanders because I did not want to see the political machine that controlled Washington to continue to roll along the track. And it is not continuing to roll along the track. Obviously, it's not going anywhere because of the obstructionist politics now on the other side. But what are we going to do about it? Sit here and just continue to call him a buffoon, or let's talk about policy. Let's talk about things of substance, Mark. That's all I'm asking. I've called in several times to executive session and made the same request. Let's just stop with the name-calling and all these broad stroke just attacks. He's an imbecile. He's a buffoon. He doesn't sound good on TV. And let's talk about what's really happening. That's all we're asking. I don't think I'm going to make you all of a sudden, you know, a Republican leaner or a Trump supporter. But I just don't want to hear the constant attacks and innuendos. I want to hear facts and stuff. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, did I get on the facts with regard to the gay issue as just that you
know,
asked?
You tried to meander it into what everybody else thinks, and I'm not here to talk about what everybody else thinks. I'm here to talk about what me, my fellow Floridians think. I enjoy hearing other people call in, even if their views don't agree with me. And that's what really gets me. My own brother was so against Trump. He can't even talk about it. He's a really intelligent guy.
Why was that?
Speak about it.
Why was he against it?
Because he's still emotional.
What was he?
He has all kinds of reasons, but for the most part, it's just like everybody else. They just don't like the guy. So they can't even get on board and let him do his job now that he's been elected president by the majority of this nation through the processes of the democracy.
I agree with that.
That's all I'm asking.
I agree with that.
Forces. Stop sitting here. Say he's a buffoon. We know you think he's a buffoon.
Yes.
Let's move on.
I do. On the basis of what he's shown me, he hasn't shown me anything intellectual, anything that is cognizant of anything that, you know, a thought process. And I, during all this call, all that you've been telling me is that we've been name calling and all of this other stuff. And we haven't documented many of the things that we think he's inconsistent about.
Like I said, I listened to you for about 15 minutes driving from work to home today. And in that period, I felt like you said I was an uninformed voter, because I was a Trump supporter that I don't know.
I said for the most part.
I don't have a moral compass and that I'm a homophobic racist. And I know none of those things are true about myself.
I agree. I'm willing to.
I'm a businessman and a registered voter.
Well, I agree with you.
I desire to hear facts and not these innuendos, Mark. I'm just asking you to stop with the constant bashing and negativity on WMNF and take the charge to talk about facts. When I hear about things like Trump's cutting public radio funding, that's something I want to hear. That's something I can act on as a voter and try to say, hey, I don't agree with that policy. You know, those types of things. Not, oh, well, he had a Supreme Court justice who's anti-gay, so he's all anti-gay and everybody's drawing votes for Trump's a homophobe. No, that's a huge leap. It's not true.
Well, it is true.
And you're not
accepting it. You don't accept. Well, we'll see what the others think when they call in about what your concept that you have defined that 9 out of 10 people that you know, but you have no opinion because you're not a pollster about what you think the majority of Trump supporters support. So I can't go anywhere beyond that. I think you made your point abundant and clear.
Thanks.
All righty. And that was an extended call because it was somebody that disagreed. And here's Mike in Tampa.
Hi. I agree with Steve. As long as we have this two-party system, it's going to be a tit for tat. And the only way to break that up is to break up the two-party system. And you asked me about me saying it was worth it to have George W. Bush over Al Gore. And I said that because I voted for Bill Clinton over George H.W. Bush, and I did it because I feared what George H.W. Bush would do in a second term. And everything I feared that Bush would do, Clinton did, and worse to boot. I would have been better off voting for Bush. So the reason I said that is exactly because of what happened in the past.
Yeah, you're talking about his record as president.
Yeah, it was terrible. And if Al Gore would have been anything like Bill Clinton, he would have been worse than George W. Bush because Bill Clinton was worse than George W. Bush. And the thing would be going for Hillary against Trump. If she had been anything like her husband, she would have been worse than Trump because her husband was worse than Trump.
All righty. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk to Miles in Sarasota. You there?
Hello?
Miles?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was listening right now. I wasn't radio. I know better to listen to radio.
No, that's okay.
Hey, Mark, you know, you're right. This, you know, oh, God. I'll go back to what I've always believed. If you're making less than 100 grand a year and you're voting Republican, you're an idiot.
Well, you know, some of our callers would not like that.
No, I'm sure
they would. That's not factual enough.
But I got to say, to the Hillary Clinton, I do not like, Mark. I've been a Democrat for, 30-something years. I live in Sarasota, but I'm from Atlanta originally.
Yeah.
And I don't like her. I don't know what it is, Bill. I voted twice for her. But I don't trust her at all. I think she's a real nut, you know?
You think she's a bigger nut than this guy?
No. Well, nobody wants this job, Mark, okay? Really.
Yeah, but they did. But they did.
Well, I know, but it always takes a nut to want to take the job.
Yeah, well, then on that basis, we're always going to elect nuts.
I guess. See what I mean?
The devil's in the details, okay?
Right, exactly.
And like the caller asked... The caller, a couple of callers ago, Richmond asked, hey, what facts do you have that lead you to the conclusion that this guy is imbecilic or moronic and all of that other stuff?
Right. Well, you know, the thing is, though, too, with Donald Trump, a lot of people don't realize this because I'm from New York originally.
Yeah.
So I'm not from Atlanta, but I lived there for a long time.
Yeah.
But I know people that I have a moving company. In Sarasota, I used to work for a big one up there in Atlanta, sales. But a lot of people would tell me that were from New York City that dealt with him, that he put them right out of business. He wouldn't pay them.
Oh, everybody knows that. Real. Anybody, yeah. Anybody that investigates and really cares about looking. Look, I don't know if you've heard my show in the past, Miles, but I've worked with Donald Trump. I've been in the same room with him.
Yeah.
As a ring announcer for boxing and HBO and Showtime and ESPN and USA Network, I had to sit in the same room with him. And I'll tell you this, as I've said many times before, when I met the guy, I liked him as far as, you know, just being a guy and whatever.
Right.
But I saw the way he ran his businesses and everything else. And he was a typical CEO kind of guy. And, you know, you can't begrudge somebody something because of that. But I think a perfect indication of how bad this guy is as a businessman is that all his casinos went under. How do you lose a casino?
Well, if you file for bankruptcy like 10 times, what you're doing is you're obviously dodging the people you owe money to, right?
Of course.
So, you know, that's a no-brainer. So anybody who's out there, this Republican, that thinks this is a great way, they'll see. And his excuse is, well, you know, I just use the system to help me, you know.
Yeah.
The system is there for me. Well, that's nonsense. It's like me going to tell 50 people, say, well, you know, in Iowa, it's legal to kill people.
Yeah, right. I agree, Miles. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate the call. I really do. Thanks for calling. Let me start moving on here. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with your hero, Mark Biro, and your telephone calls, 813-239-9663. Tina in Tampa. Hello, Tina.
Hey, I'll tell you what President Trump has done that has been directly anti-gay. very early on in his administration, he said he's going to reverse a rule that people, you know, people in the military who are gay can just sit and have to hide their preference. And then he said he's going to reverse that. Go back to the no ask, no tell, I think that's what they called it.
Yeah.
Not a good policy. Even his own military leaders said, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go back to that. They literally just said, we're not going to obey our commander-in-chief. That's how stupid they thought the idea was. And this came out of the blue. He just came out of the blue to just take a shot at someone because, you know, he's president, and, gee, he has his authority. I mean, he comes across that way all the time. I can't believe you didn't just, I guess you were trying to keep the argument civil, but with that guy who called in who was, you know, ripping you, saying, oh, you're just... attacking me because I support Trump. We didn't get an answer. You know, why does he support Trump if he's pro, you know, gay rights when Trump has done?
Well, practically everything he articulated that he personally supported. That's exactly right. But I felt that by him talking and letting his position be known, and it was a legitimate position, and I think I gave the respect that I would any caller, and that is that I believed him.
Unlike me, who would have, you know, but this is what I really want to say, and then, 'cause I know you got callers waiting. The thing that frightens me the most is well, you know, Trump, it's 4 years. I don't think he's going to get a second term. I mean, you could be right. It may be eight, but it is going to end. But here's the real nightmare. Will we be able to ever go back to when the presidency, it's an office I respect. I still respect the presidency. I don't respect the man who's in it. But the thing that Trump has so devalued our presidency, he tweets, you know, he uses that as a way to, talk to the American public. It's not an appropriate forum. He's attacking and bashing the media, which has been, you know, a free press has been like one of the foundations of our country, and not just the press, but all media. He takes shots at people, even his own people. He comes up with, abusive names. Even, you know, anybody who crossed him, whether they're friends or not, like Sloppy Steve, he was mad at him, the latest. And he'll come up with a name for Tillerson now that he's out. He, there's no stability. Will we be able to go back to when, and our allies, he's insulted, you know, half our allies. He hasn't, agreements that we've made. It's like this country has no credibility. Are we going to be able to go back to when the presidency of this country meant something? And there were some ethics, like showing your tax returns. Are we going to be able to go back to when people had a little bit more belief in this office? I read a column that talked about the situation in Italy, that they're still reeling from, what's the guy's name, Berlusconi?
Yeah.
How he dragged everything down. This is a few years before Trump.
Right.
He dragged everything down, and people were just basically rude and abusive to each other, and he dragged down the office there, and that they're still having a hard time trying to regain the ground they were in. I hope that doesn't happen here, but, you know, I think that he's done an awful lot of damage to this country. That's where I think the real problem is, in addition to, like, what you mentioned about the Supreme Court justice and all the other. It's really...
Oh, I just started with
only
the
one guy.
Exactly.
He pointed a lot of what they say is unqualified people, the Democrats in Congress. Of course, it's the opposite party, but they're saying that people have been appointed into these appellate positions as judges who've never even been in a trial.
That's right. It's just, and people interpret that as, wow, we got a guy that's like us that's there. No, you got a guy that had some influence with money and so on and so forth that got him there. There's nothing judicial about it.
A good businessman. I mean, you have to declare bankruptcy time and time again, and you get
the bottom line. The bottom line on that, Tina, is this guy has not released his tax forms.
Yeah, and there's a reason.
And there are people in this country that support that. That's what's amazing.
I still think that he has a rally and people show up and all they want to do is scream, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Sure.
Him,
USA.
But I think that is still a small number. I don't think he's going to get reelected. I know we disagree on that.
We do.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
All right, Tina, I appreciate the call. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to go to another lady in every sense of the word, Lori in St. Pete. Go ahead, Lori.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Now, I understand you wanted to take issue with one of our callers.
Well, Richmond.
Yes.
My entire life, since I came out as gay, I've been hearing, including people in my family, who will vote Republican, but will say they support gay and lesbian rights.
How do you see that?
What's that?
How do you see that personally when you hear that?
It's incredibly offensive. Oh, now I'm a snowflake because I'm offended. it's incredibly offensive and hurtful. They do not seem to understand the fundamental rights that have been denied myself and other gay, lesbian, transgender people and continue to be denied rights. They're also now in the hands of a Supreme Court that is now conservative-leaning because those of us who voted for Obama, a Supreme Court justice seat was stolen from us. The Republicans would not allow Obama to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. That was stolen from us. And then Trump gets in there and he appoints an ultra-conservative Supreme Court justice. I don't think people understand because they're not living it. I don't think people understand because they don't pay enough attention to how powerful the Supreme Court is. The buck stops there.
Yes, so, I agree, Lori. I agree.
So same-sex marriage, now we have, that can be taken away. And how many more Supreme Court justice seats will he fill?
And don't you find that vindictive? Don't you find that attitude of restricting gay marriage and many items the gay agenda? Don't you find that as a vindictive attitude more than one of that brings us together?
I find that to be one of the issues that conservatives in power use.
Yes.
Keep the masses voting Republican.
Emotional.
Just like abortion.
Yes.
Just like abortion. They don't care. They don't care about fetuses, and they don't care about gays and lesbians, whether or not we have rights or not. They know they can get the people to the polls because of those emotional issues. And to Richmond, if your guy is so gay lesbian, pro-gay lesbian, why do all the evangelicals love him? They wouldn't. And furthermore, Richmond voted for Trump. Therefore, he voted for Mike Pence, who is ultra-conservative and ultra-anti-gay. So, Richmond, you supported anti-gay. That was your vote, and that was your choice. So, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you chiming in, and I will say again on Richmond's behalf, since he's not on the air anymore here, that his personal opinion jives with yours. Now, how that translates into supporting specifically conservative candidates and the conservative agenda as with regards to the gay agenda, that's a little confounding to me.
Well, you know what we're told? We're told, but there are other issues. But when you're gay and lesbian and you can't get married, you can't get benefits from your partner, you can't inherit from a state, you can't, as someone else, Tina mentioned, enter the military. These are all profoundly constitutional, and these are our lives. These are our lives.
I agree.
And so if you support gay, lesbian rights, you don't go vote for Trump.
Lori, I want to thank you for calling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your candor, and I appreciate your knowledge on the issue on a first-hand basis.
Well, and don't forget, there are also, I think they've appointed, over 50 now, different justices across the country.
Yes,
this is a conservative coup.
Yes.
I mean, they are.
Yes, it is.
They are turning the tide. All those cases that those conservative justices vote on state by state, then go up to the Supreme Court, and then they're going to reverse gay lesbian rights.
I could tell you, Lori, and anyone else who is in your position and with your agenda, that my heart and my mind are absolutely in your corner, And I try to support candidates that, above all, have that at the top of their agenda.
All right. Well, thank you. We need allies like you, because it's a terrifying time. It really is.
You call me anytime, Lori.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's just incredible the lack of perspective that a lot of people can go through life having. It's just quite amazing. Here's Bill in Homosassa. Bill?
How are you today, Mark?
You know, Bill, I'm going to have to... I'm sorry to... You may want to call back, brother. I know you've been waiting for about 20 minutes, but we have too much interference on that particular line, and I don't know why that is, Bill. Maybe the conservatives were out to get you or something. Just kidding, folks. Just kidding. John in Port Richey, hello.
Hey, thanks for the show. I'll try to be quick. About your standards at the beginning, I think you're right on that. I think if Trump was a Democrat, those 35 people that staunchly support him would hate him. Probably worse than Hillary, I think.
Absolutely.
The word ignorant. You know, I've used that word in conversations, and I think people... they take it as an insult because I don't think they really know what it means. And I'll freely admit that I'm an extremely ignorant person, because I know all that means is I just don't know something, but yet I have the intelligence enough to be able to go look it up or at least come to some understanding of what that is. They think it means stupid, I think, and not ignorant. So
Right. There's
a difference there. About the gay rights thing, he was trying to get you to give you ideas or places where Trump actually supported that, and if you couldn't give him that, he was arguing that, well, you see, he's for gay rights. Well, my question would be, what has Trump done to support gay rights? What has anybody done that was a conservative? I heard Hannity's always saying the Republicans are for gay rights, and I don't hear anything from the Republican Party that supports that comment. And the last thing...
And it's a matter of record, by the way.
Yeah, what if they voted on that supported gay rights?
Right.
I don't know. That's what I would be asking. And the other thing, too, is Richmond said that Trump was elected by the majority of this country, and that's not true either.
No, wait a minute. I'm gonna be fair to Richmond, because I listened very carefully to what he said. He said, within the rules of our democracy... And you know, that was the caveat, and it's an important point.
Okay.
He never said that he got the right, exactly.
The majority vote.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
The majority voted for Hillary by over 3 million. But yes, because we have that electoral college,
and in Trump's own words, the 3 million people that voted more for Hillary were all illegal voters, and number two, therefore, they were not able to attend the greatest attendance at an inauguration ever.
And how many of those 3 million have been prosecuted or brought up on charges?
That's a whole other issue, and that's another double standard.
How many voted for Trump twice that were charged? I know at least one person that did that.
All right, John, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. We're completely out of time. Dan, Paul, Dave, sorry couldn't get to you. Got to call in a little sooner. We had full boards today, as usual. I want to thank everyone, every single caller, agreeing or not, to participating here at WMNF. Until next Wednesday... I want to thank, of course, Jan Simpson, who is my right-hand gal. Boy, I'll tell you, she's in charge. She was the producer of this program. And the amazing Bill Grace took our phone executive position today and screened the calls. Thanks a lot, Bill. Another great job. And John Gilmore is coming up with an executive session right after this program is over with in the top of the hour news. And, of course... you got Super Nola sitting in tomorrow on Midpoint Talk. Every Wednesday, Super Nola is here. Until Tuesday, next week, this is your hero, Mark Biro, with a great deal of gratitude in my heart for your listening in and your participating, and I'm on my way.
Another day, I know they say that all the world's a stage. I'll play the fool, but as a rule, I'd rather act my age. I'm on my way, I cannot stay another day. I'm on my way, I cannot stay another day.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of NPR News.